Bible's the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be focusing on verses 20 through verse 22, and then we're going to stop. It's the area that I got to stop at. I'd like to go farther, but I can't get down onto Moses without going a little bit longer than I possibly should, but which could make this shorter than normal, which that would rank right up there apart in the Red Sea, wouldn't it, if it hadn't been shorter than normal, but we'll just seek to do what what I think the Lord wants me to do. So we're going to focus on Hebrews 11, and we're going to be looking at verse 20, and we'll be looking at through verse 22. It says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Let us pray. Father, we're thankful to be able to be here this evening, and we're thankful for this place you've given us to come out of the weather. And we got lighting, we got air conditioning and heat, and it just padded pews. Lord, you've just blessed us so much. But, Lord, we pray that you'd help us tonight worship you. We'd lay everything other than worship outside our man. You'd help us, and we'd focus on your word and the great blessings that we have because of you. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, what we want to notice, first of all, and the main part of this we're going to look at is Jacob and Esau. And I'll probably mention Joseph, too, since I read verse 22, Jacob and Esau. Of course, Isaac had two sons, and one, of course, was Jacob, and the other, of course, was Esau. Esau was the oldest. They were born, of course, the same time, but he came out first, so he, of course, was the oldest. So let's go ahead and notice a little bit about them. I want you to notice something. Down through this chapter, this is the great hero of faith chapter, as you know. And we notice in verse 4, by faith, Abel. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. By faith, verse 7, Noah. By faith, Abraham. Through faith, Sarah. Then we get down to verse 20. And by faith, Isaac. And then you got verse 21, by faith, Jacob. And then verse 22, by faith, Joseph. So see how it stresses faith, doesn't it? Which stresses the fact that Old Testament saints were saved by faith. It's very important that you realize that. They weren't saved a different way than we were. Sometimes they were saying, well, they were saved by the law. They could no more be saved by the law than you can. They were saved by faith based on the coming atonement of Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose of Hebrews 11, is to show that. What was happening, if you'll look back up at Hebrews 10, right above, look at verse 38. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back..." Now, what was happening is some of the Hebrews were drawing back under the old covenant. That's what the drawing back was. They began to feel that where they were at wasn't enough to save them. So they backed back under the old covenant, back under the sacrifice system, and so on. It says, now that's the drawing back that it's referring to. "So if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Now look at verse 39. "But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them who believe unto the saving of the" what? See, now what does that tell you about those that draw back, though? They had a profession, didn't they? That's because at one time they claimed to be in the faith, but what did they do? They drew away from it and they drew back. So what does verse 39 tell you about those folk? They never believed to the saving of the soul. They never lost their salvation. They never had true salvation. And one of the evidence of continuing, one of the evidence of being a true disciple is you do what? You continue. You continue. John chapter 8, "If ye continue, then ye are disciples indeed." Why do you continue? Somebody tell me. Because you're kept. You're kept. 1 Peter 1:5 says you're kept by the power of God. And God is omnipotent. So guess what? He can keep you. And you get out of line, how does He keep you? If you get out of line, what will He do? He'll take you to the woodshed. The Bible says that someone is without chastisement. Someone can go out here and do and do, and there's no evidence of the chastening rod of God in their life. But Hebrews says they are a bastard and not a son. That's strong language, isn't it? So God's people, when you're born again, you're not ever going to be unborn. You have to be unborn for you to become lost. But there's a lot of people that make professions, and then they draw away from it. And they draw back. And there, let that verse define it, Hebrews 10:39. What happened? They never believed to the saving of the soul. Lip profession. Not a heart knowledge. There's a difference between the two. Okay? So by faith is all down through here. All the Old Testament saints were saved by faith. Abraham, Noah, everyone, as we've already said. But there's a fellow mentioned here that it doesn't say by faith. Did y'all notice it? There's a fellow mentioned here where by faith isn't in front of his name. Notice what it says. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and who? Esau. Everybody see Esau? By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And then it goes right to Jacob. By faith, Jacob. But it doesn't say by faith who? It doesn't say by faith Esau. Do you know why it doesn't have by faith Esau? Esau is a lost man. That's the reason why. He's here. He was blessed by Isaac. And actually, he received a lesser blessing than Jacob did. And we'll talk more about that here in just a little bit. But Esau was a lost man. He had a saved dad. He had a saved mother. He was born in a saved family. He had the privilege. It's a privilege to be born to godly parents. Do you agree with it? It's a privilege to have parents that will instruct you in the ways of the Lord and to bring you to the house of God. That's a great privilege. And young people are privileged that have parents that doesn't send them, but brings them. You see, there's a difference between sending them and bringing them. I've told this many times from this pulpit. I taught teenage boys for years. And, of course, I stopped doing that years back. But for a long time, I taught teenage boys. And here's something that I learned. The ones whose parents brought them, they stayed. The ones whose parents sent them, they quit. Eventually, they quit setting their clocks and coming out themselves. But the ones who had the influence at the house and were brought, it made a really big difference in them later on in life. So Esau was privileged. He had a godly father and a godly mother. He was born in a godly line. But Esau was a profane man and a lost man in spite of all of these things. Let's look over to Hebrews 12 if you need further proof for that. Hebrews chapter 12, and notice what it says in verse 16. That door back there, Brother Mike, is open. Going outside? That's why the doors are opening up back there. That and the power of my voice ain't opening. I mean, it's the wind from outside. So you want to shut that outside door back there. Anyhow, Hebrews 12, let's notice a little bit about Esau, what it says about him. Notice what it says in verse 15 and 16. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up in you trouble you, and thereby many be deceived. We preached on bitterness here not long ago, didn't we? Bitterness is a bitter root. What's a root? It lies underneath the surface. That's where bitterness gets in your heart. It'll ruin you. It'll ruin you spiritually. Now here's Esau's mention. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. A profane man is an ungodly man. or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. So it says that he was what kind of man? He was a profane man. He was a privileged man. Like I said, he had a godly father, a godly mother, and born in a godly family, and all these different things. Part of that godly line, so we're in that godly family where the line of Christ would eventually come through. But yet at the same time, the Bible says he was a profane man. And you can go back into the book of Genesis chapter 25. He was a hunter. We would like him. He was a typical, he'd be like a West Virginian. He loved to hunt. And he would go out with his bow and things and kill venison. And his dad would eat of it. Actually, his dad liked him better than Jacob. And Jacob's mother liked him better than Esau. Jacob was more of a mommy's boy, is what we would call him. He really was. That's what we would. And Jacob was more of a man's man. I'm sorry, Esau was more of a man's man. But yet at the same time, he didn't have faith. By faith is not mentioned in front of his name, which means he was a privileged man, but a lost man and an ungodly man. When he came in from the field one day, he was so ravished with food, and Jacob was, he was a snake in the grass in a lot of ways. He really was. And he came in and he seen the opportunity to take advantage of his brother, and he had made some really nice soup. And he said, "I'll let you have this soup if you sell me your birthright." I mean, he had a certain privilege as being the eldest son. The birthright would have belonged to him, and he sold it for a bowl of pottage. And he's a typical worldly type person. That's what worldly people do. They sell their eternity for the temporary. Esau's just like, and of course people are just like that even down to the day, aren't they? They live for the temporary, but they forget the eternal. And that's the kind of man that Esau was. So the first thing I want you to notice tonight is that he wasn't a man of faith. He never trusted the Lord. He never trusted Him at all. He never considered the birthright much. And he sold it for a bowl of soup. And look at Hebrews 12 says that he was an ungodly man, though he was privileged. Okay, everybody see that? So let's move off of him. And let's now begin to look at Jacob. Back to Hebrews chapter 11. Now it says again in verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Now both of them received a blessing. But the greatest blessing, the very greatest blessing, it went to Jacob. Okay, the very greatest blessing went to Jacob. Now Esau became a great nation. The nation that came from Esau was the nation of Edom. You've heard of the Edomites. Do you remember when the children of Israel come up out of the land of Egypt? And they were going across and their soul was discouraged because of the way and they wanted to go take a shortcut through Edom. Remember, Edom wouldn't let them do it. And the people got discouraged and began to complain against Moses and against God. And remember what God did? He sent those brazen serpents. Edom was their brother, according to the flesh. And Edom refused. Edom, the Edomites, which were the descendants of Esau, always hated Israel. They always did. They had a long-standing feud with them. Now, another nation that came through Esau was the nation of the Amalekites, came also through the line of Esau. And you know, the Edomites and the Amalekites were bitter, bitter enemies of Israel. One of the sins of King Saul was God sent King Saul down to completely wipe them out. You remember? And he said, don't take any spoil. Destroy all the animals. Kill everything that's there is what God told him to do. And remember, King Saul brought back King Agag. Remember? He brought back King Agag and he brought back spoil, which was a complete sin against the Lord. And boy, Samuel addressed him with regard to that. One of the reasons why God turned from him as being king over Israel, because he didn't mind the Lord. So Esau was blessed in that he became a very powerful man. He became a very, his descendants became very powerful nations, Edom and the Amalekites. But he didn't have the greatest blessing. And the greatest blessing went to Jacob. Jacob received the spiritual blessings. All the great spiritual blessings that was associated with knowing God. And then the nation Israel would come through the line of Jacob. I'm going to show you about four things about Jacob. Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Now don't panic over the rain. This ain't the first time it's ever done that. And we're not setting out in it. So we're going to just chill out. We'll be all right. We realize that's thunder and lightning and raining. Just you know what I mean? And just pay good attention to what we're beginning to look at. Matthew chapter 8. So the text says that Jacob blessed, Isaac blessed both Jacob and Esau. Jacob received a great blessing. He became a great man. He had plenty of money. But the spiritual blessings went to who? They went to Jacob. And that's what we're going to look at. Whereas Esau was a lost man, Jacob was a saved man. And the Lord in His grace and in His mercy saved him. And in the book of Matthew chapter 8 is one of the evidences of that. Matthew chapter 8. And notice what it says in verse 11. It says, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and who else? And Jacob. Where are they going to sit down at? They're going to sit down in the kingdom. I like that, don't you? Now it says that many shall come from the east and the west. That means Gentiles, doesn't it? That means us too, does it not? There'll be a day that we sit down in the kingdom with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I can just imagine being in the kingdom one day and looking over there, and there'll be standing Abraham, and there him and Jack Daly will be talking. Can you imagine that? We'll be equal. Hey, will we not? We're a children of God, and we'll all be in the kingdom. We'll all be perfect, and we'll have new bodies, and we'll all be like Christ. And we'll sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isn't that a blessing? So those that sit down in the kingdom are what kind of people? They're saved people. Esau won't be there because Esau was an ungodly man. He was a profane man. But God, in His mercy and grace, saved Jacob. Made Jacob to differ. Okay? Now turn to the book of Exodus. Let me give you another evidence for his salvation. Another evidence for his salvation. I just want you to see that Jacob was saved. Now when you read about him in the book of Genesis, he was crooked. I mean, he really was. But the Lord changed him and saved him. But he really done some conniving things to his brother. He stole the birthright from his brother too. He put on a goat skin. His mother helped him put on a goat skin so he'd be like a very hairy, like his brother, and tricked his dad into putting the blessing upon him. So he is a conniver when you look at him, but the Lord showed him mercy and saved his soul. And I got a text to read to you after a while that might be a shocker to you whenever you look at it. Now let's look at the book of Exodus chapter 3. Notice this statement now, great statement. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father. I'm the God of thy father. I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham. Everybody see that? He's the God of Abraham. This is Exodus 3:6. He's the God of Isaac. And he's the God of who else? God of Jacob. You see, this is an indicator that he indeed was a saved man. And he's also the God of our Jacob here tonight, too. He's the God of all the Jacobs that are saved. So he's the God of Jacob. That's a great privilege, isn't it? When you're saved, he's your God. When you're saved, he's your God. great blessing. Not only is He your God, but one of these days, just like Jacob, you'll sit down in the kingdom with them. So Jacob was a saved man. Now, there's also a lot of national blessings that was associated with Jacob. Remember, he was blessed with the spiritual blessings. Esau had some blessings materially. He was a rich man and two nations came from him. He was a great man, but he was a lost man. That's not true riches if you're lost, is it? I mean, the rich people isn't the people that have just the big homes and all the finances and things of that nature. If you don't have eternal life, you're poor. If you don't have everlasting life and your sins paid for and a home in the Father's house, then you're poor. We're rich. There was a church in the book of Revelations, and it's the church of Smyrna, and he said, "Thou art poor." Hey, we're poor financially, but then he said, "But you're rich." In reality, you're rich spiritually. Wouldn't you rather be rich spiritually than rich materially? And what happens is people push themselves towards earthly riches and they forget the true riches, which is the riches that comes by trusting Christ. So Jacob was saved. Esau had a lot of national blessings or material blessings, but he didn't have the spiritual blessings, but Jacob did. Are you ready for the national blessings he had? Guess who came through Jacob? The Messiah came through Jacob. That's a great blessing, was it not? He would be part of that family that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, would come through. Let's look back at the book of Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. That's what it says in Genesis chapter 28. I'm sorry, Genesis 35. Let me turn to that one first. I'm going to come back and get that one. Genesis chapter 35. Notice what it says at verse 9. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, "Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name." Everybody see that? Jacob's name would be changed to Israel. And that's where the name, what nation would come through Jacob's line? The nation of Israel. So he received the blessing not only of being saved, but he received the blessing of being in that line. And as a matter of fact, his name became the name of the nation that the Messiah would come through. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Verse 11. And God said unto him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful, multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to them I will give it, and to thy seed after thee I will give the land." And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So God gave him not only the blessing of saving him, but he made him a part of the nation wherein the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, would indeed come through. He was blessed, wasn't he? You're always blessed since the Lord shows you mercy and saves your soul. And then to be part of Israel, to be a part of Israel and to have the nation actually named after you, he said, "I'm going to change your name to Israel. And through you, all nations is going to be blessed because through Israel came who?" How was all nations blessed through Israel? Through Israel came the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. You can look in the chronology in Matthew 1 and you can see the line right down through there. God was building his nation. And he was going to bring the Messiah through them. Okay? Now, great blessing, wasn't it? Now let's get Genesis 28. Let me show you another blessing that he had. Genesis chapter 28. He also seen something that I think is a blessing. Not only was Jacob saved, we pointed that out. Not only was he blessed with great national blessings because his name was changed to Israel. Through him would come the nation Israel, the line that where the Messiah would come through. But also the Lord showed him something I think is great. You've all heard of Jacob's ladder. Y'all heard of Jacob's ladder? He showed him something I think is pretty great. In Genesis chapter 28, he showed him a ladder. It says in verse 12, and he dreamed, this Jacob was dreaming, and he beheld a ladder. Now the idea of this in Hebrew could be a ladder or stair steps. A lot of the writers say it's stair steps. But what's unique about this ladder is this ladder goes from heaven, from earth to heaven. That's what I want you to see. Let's go ahead and read on. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. That's a pretty good-sized ladder, isn't it? Remember, this is figurative. This is a picture of something. So Jacob's ladder is here on earth, and Big Al, this ladder goes to heaven. So this is a stair step that reaches from earth all the way to heaven. Hey, wouldn't you like to find that staircase that reaches that far? Wouldn't you like to find that ladder that reaches from earth all the way to heaven? Now keep watching. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God was ascending and descending on it. And I want you to take real note of that statement. These angels were doing what? They were going up it, and then they were coming down. It went from earth to heaven. In other words, this ladder bridged the gap between earth and heaven. I mean, that means if you could climb that ladder, you could go from earth to heaven. That's what Jacob seen in his dream. Angels going up and down on it. Verse 13, let me go ahead and read the rest of this. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee I'll give it to thy seed. That would be Israel. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, great multitude. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the north, east and to the north and to the south. In thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. How was that? Jesus came through them. And we're blessed all the way down to today here in Bancroft because of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, that came through them. Okay? Now let's turn to the Gospel of John chapter 1. Now, if you want, you can keep your place there. I don't know if I'll come back to it or not. Hope you're enjoying the study. This is a blessing. John chapter 1. Remember, I stressed the fact that on that ladder that stretched from earth to heaven, remember what was going up and down? Angels ascending, angels descending. Okay? Now, notice what Jesus does. Jesus, you come down the New Testament, it uses the same kind of terminology that was used when Jacob, when the book of Genesis describes Jacob's ladder. He sees something ascending and descending. Are you ready? Watch this now. Verse 51. I'm sorry, let me get back and get the context. Look back at verse 49. Nathanael answered and said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to thee, I saw you under the fig tree, believest thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily I say unto you, hereafter, now watch this now, ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon who? Upon the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? It's Jesus. Now, Jacob's ladder was here on earth, right? It reached to heaven. Angels were ascending on it and descending on it. Jesus used the same thing. He said, hereafter you'll see the Son of Man, and angels will be ascending and descending on Him. What gets you from earth to heaven? Jacob's ladder does. You know who Jacob's ladder is, don't you? It's Jesus. All He's doing is showing that the way to heaven, the way from earth to heaven, is through Jesus. And Jacob's ladder is a picture of Jesus because it bridges the gap between earth and heaven. You want to go to heaven? Guess who you got to go through? You got to go through Jesus. And He said it even better in John 14. He said, I'm the way. There is a ladder. You don't have to climb it. You have to trust it. There is a ladder that bridges the gap between the sinner and the Lord. And one that bridges that gap is the Lord Jesus. If you will go to heaven, you got to go through Him. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by Me. He's Jacob's ladder. He's the ladder that reaches from earth to heaven. And Jesus used the same language. Hereafter, you'll see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It doesn't say Jacob's ladder, but it uses ascending and descending. And Jesus is the one that bridges the gap between earth and heaven. Oh, God's people say it. I like that. I think that's a beautiful picture. You want to go to heaven? You got to go through Jesus. And that's the ladder that you got to go through. So, Jacob got that spiritual teaching. See, all the spiritual blessings belong to him. He was saved. He's a part of the kingdom. We're going to sit down in the kingdom with him. The God of Abraham and Isaac was also his God. He was blessed with the national blessing of being name changed to Israel. And the nation Israel, of course, that would be the name of the nation that came through his seed. That would be the name of the nation that came through his seed. And the Messiah would come through him. And through him, all nations then would be blessed. Okay? But I'm not done yet. Well, he's a blessed man, isn't he? You see, well, the greatest blessings are the spiritual blessings. What made Jacob to differ from Esau? You ever think about it? What made Jacob to differ from Esau? Oh, yeah. Mercy, grace, the Lord. Let me show you something. Are you ready? I ain't going to close yet. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. You'll very rarely ever hear, unless you get somebody to teach verse by verse, chapter to chapter through a book, it's very rare to see anybody or hear anybody touch Romans 9. You agree, Hollis? Very rare will you see anybody touch Romans 9. But Romans 9 is just as much God's Word as John 3:16 is just as much God's Word. But yet, good thing about going through books and searching through verses is texts like this. My question was this. What made Jacob to differ from Esau? Y'all think that's a good question? That was my question to you. Same question was asked in 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul brought it up. He said, who made you to differ from another? Y'all think that's a good question, 1 Corinthians 4? Who made you to differ from another? That's a good question. And you know what the answer to it is? God did. God's the one that made you to differ from another. What was happening in 1 Corinthians is they got preacher religion. And they say, well, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas. And Paul was showing, writing to them, hey, it is of him that you are in Christ. In other words, the reason why you're saved is, it's not because you're brighter or better, it's because of God's mercy and grace. He wanted them to know that. Of him are ye in Christ. Well, that's what he's going to show here. Notice Romans chapter 9. I ain't got time to preach a lofty, long message on this, but boy, this would be a rich snorter if you got to spend a little time on it. Are you ready? I'm going to ask the question one more time. Who made Jacob to differ from Esau? Esau was a profane man. And you know what? When you get to looking at Jacob, he was conniving too. You just go back and look at his deception of his brother and of his father. I'm like, boy, oh boy, he was crooked too. But something made Jacob to differ. And I'm telling you tonight that who made him to differ was God's mercy and God's grace. Are you ready for me to read the text? Are you going to read it? I want you to read it out loud. I'll read it out loud. But I want you to look at it. I just want you to look at it. Think about it a little bit. Wallet it around in your mind. Go home tonight and look at it, too. Think about it a little bit more. Verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, by our father Isaac. Now watch this. The children being not yet born, having done neither good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. Everybody see that? Verse 12, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. That's what God told him. That's before he was ever born. The elder is going to serve the younger. The one that's going to be the dominant nation is going to be Jacob and his descendants. He made them to differ. The Edomites, they weren't going to be in the plan. Verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. When's the last time you heard a message on Romans 9:13? You don't ever hear it read, hardly. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. I don't know why he loved Jacob. But he did. Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Isn't that your first response? Well, that ain't fair. God's not righteous to do that. So it asks a question for you. It pretty well figures out how we think. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteous with God? What's it say? God forbid. Let it not be. Verse 15. Here's what made Jacob to differ. For he saith to Moses, watch it now, folks. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and whom I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. What else does it say? But of God that shows the mercy. Both of them deserve judgment. Both of them were sinners. God bestowed his mercy and his grace upon Jacob. And he made Jacob Israel. And through that line, he brought the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. That's what he did. So my question was, before I read Romans 9, who made Jacob to differ? God did. God's mercy did. And you know who else knew that? I'm getting excited. Do you know who else knew that? More than anybody else? Betty McClung, you know who else knew that more than anybody else? Rebecca did. But I'm jumping all the way down the New Testament now. Saul of Tarsus did. Saul of Tarsus knew it. Saul of Tarsus was the chief persecutor of the church of his day. And he was on his way, going on the road to Damascus, and he wasn't going to Damascus for a revival meeting. He was going to Damascus to put them in chains and bring them to Jerusalem. Guess what happened? Jesus put him right on his back on the way. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And you know what? He saved him. Made him a preacher. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? And verse 10, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, Betty. And that's why we're where we're at. If it wasn't for God's grace, I'd still be out there in sin somewhere. God made me to differ. The same thing is true of you. That's why He deserves the glory for it. He deserves the glory for all of it. Of Him are ye in Christ. If it wasn't for God's mercy, Jacob would have been just like Esau. And what made him to differ was God's mercy. You know what the Lord did? After Saul got saved, after the Lord saved him, He sent Ananias, was a notable disciple of the Lord in the Damascus area. And the Lord came and said, He sent Ananias to the Apostle Paul. And he said, Lord, I've heard an awful lot about this Saul of Tarsus. Remember what the Lord said? Yeah, He said, he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name unto the Gentiles. And the Lord had showed unto him His grace. Isn't that a blessing? So the same thing is true. God bestowed His mercy and His grace upon Jacob. And here's something else I want to bring us on down to today. Billy, that same thing is true of you. Larry, the same thing is true. If you're here tonight born again, you've trusted Jesus, it's not because you were brighter and smarter than everybody. We don't have a thing to be arrogant about. It's all because of Him, Big Al. And when you really know that in your heart, who does it move you to give all the glory to? All the glory to Him. All the glory to Him. That's the reason why when you look in heaven, and there's a multitude that no man can number in heaven, and they have their crowns, and they take them off, and they throw them at the feet of the Lord, and they said, Thou art worthy to receive all glory and all praise and all honor. Where would you be tonight if it wasn't for God's mercy? Where would you be tonight if it wasn't for God's grace? Where would you be? It was God. So the spiritual aspect is indeed the greatest blessings. Well, I think we'll stop. I believe that's enough for one setting. I'm glad y'all endured that storm the way you did. It was pretty hard preaching there for a minute. Everybody's getting panicky there. But thankful for each of you that are able to come out tonight and be a part of the services. We do have several people to present to the church, and we're going to be doing it and try to get everything done by the 3rd so that we can have a great big old baptism that morning. And then we'll have that evening for the members at 6:30. The Lord's Supper, and then 7:30 our regular services will start. Brother